it's skiing again.
That's not real.
I'm hiccuping.
That's real. What is a haunted skiing game? Like, what does that consist of? Are the skis haunted?
No, the mountain is haunted, apparently.
Oh.
I got the hiccups.
So, is it like you're trying to escape haunted mountain?
Peak of the damned.
It's the peak of the damned.
Oh. Okay.
Duh. I got hiccups.
So you keep saying. Peak of the damned. Is that the name of the game?
No. I don't know what the name of the game is.
Is it steep?
The game?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, I'm trying to look it up. And Mike, try massaging, like, right at your solar plexus. That might help with the hiccups. Or actually, just below where your ribcage, you know, where it just below, I guess, your solar plexus. Where it turns into, where the ribcage stops. That can help relax the muscles that cause hiccuping. Like the spasming muscles.
How did you know that?
I stumbled across it and it's worked for me a lot. Doesn't always work, but...
In your many travels?
Yeah. It's actually a friendly bear showed that to me.
You were dying in a den in Bombay?
Yep.
It's like, God, not much to say.
Yep. But that bear spoke in my language.
Hey, bear, do you speak in my language?
So, welcome to week 800 of the Crankcast.
Hi.
That's a mighty long time.
Yeah, it is. We missed last week.
Yeah, that was my fault. I'm finally back to normal schedule-wise, I guess.
Yeah.
Just had a rough couple of weeks at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And this week I had a curious thing happen. I had to, I don't know if something changed, like with how Image deals with their foreign licensing or something like that.
What about it?
We were just running around because a couple of books I'm working on, like they wanted the files for the first trades and stuff like that, so they could reprint them. And they were asking, well, okay, so the PDFs I normally output for print to send off to like Image and stuff like that, you can edit those in Illustrator. You just open them up and it asks to relink the art, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get in and access all the vector stuff and all that crap. So, you know, at first it was just a request for the art, and we had to do that, but then it came back that they were having problems accessing the PDFs for some reason. But I was working with Ryan Brewer.
Okay.
I can't remember if he was our point man on in production on, like, Grumble or anything. Not Grumble. Grumble was Albatross. Battlebug?
I don't know.
Was that an Image book? I can't remember.
It has been, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think maybe we were working with Ryan there. But anyway, there was some confusing back and forth going on with what kind of files they needed and stuff. So I've been trying to work that out, because if I need to make like a major change to my workflow, it's good to know about it, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think we got it sorted. I think the PDFs turned out to be all right. It was just a misunderstanding in how to link the art back in when they were opened. And I've never understood this with PDFs. Okay, so when you're outputting a PDF, you're essentially packaging all the assets into one file. And in Illustrator, you can tell it to retain like editability in Illustrator. So that when you reopen it, you can still access individual things and stuff. And it, like, stuff doesn't get completely flattened or compressed or whatever.
Yeah.
And, but never, and this goes all the way back to when I first started using Illustrator, even though the image is obviously in the PDF file, because you can tell by the file size, like when you have a high-res image in there, when you open it up, it always asks to relink the art. Like,
Yeah.
Like, not when you open it up just for viewing, but when you open it up to edit it, you know?
Interesting.
And it's always been that way, and I've never really been sure why it works like that.
Well, luckily for you, we have somebody from Adobe on the line.
Really?
Yep.
Awesome.
John Adobe
is here.
That's made up.
It is not.
John Adobe. So, anyway. What's the haps?
I'm making Ambush Bug's antenna longer.
Was that a style guide request?
Well, this new series that I'm doing, the covers are all artwork from other books, and Ambush Bug is on top of them doing stuff, and they decided to move Ambush Bug, and my illustration didn't have the rest of his antenna, so now I have to draw his antenna.
Oh, okay. He had kind of like little bulby things at the end of his antenna.
Yeah, they look like, what do you call those plants that have the little, it's like they grow in swamps.
Like the, no, I don't know.
Cattails.
Cattails.
Oh, okay, yeah. And didn't they, well, I guess, I don't know, I'm trying to remember if I've ever actually seen Ambush Bug animated. I mean, I know he's been in something, wasn't he in like a Justice League or something?
Yeah, I think he was in Brave and the Bold.
Brave and the Bold.
Yeah.
But I've never seen any of those, so I've only ever seen him static. I don't know, I can't recall if his antenna do anything.
No, I don't think they do.
Like move around or anything, you know? Like,
I can't remember if they've ever explained why his suit looks like a bug, because it's a teleportation suit. That's the point of it.
It just shows up.
I don't know why it looks like a bug. I don't remember if they've ever explained it. I don't know if that's something that he did to it, like he modified it. Because Erwin Schwab, the guy inside the suit, is just insane. He was like Deadpool and Gwenpool before them. You know, he talked to the reader and stuff like that, and he knew he was in a comic book.
Yeah, and it was always, well, all the Ambush Bug stuff I remember was comedy. Like,
yeah. But, I mean, he originally appeared in, like, a issue of Superman or Action Comics. Yeah, and he was kind of like a good Mitzelplick. He just showed up and he wanted to be a hero, but he kept screwing things up.
Right on. I haven't read any Ambush Bug in a long time.
His first two series, Ambush Bug and Son of Ambush Bug, were two of my favorite books when I was a kid. And they were real dumb.
That's pretty much what I remember. I just remember laughing at them a lot. I thought they were funny.
Yeah.
Did they,
Qantas, the koala that walks like a man, and, was just one of my favorites.
Oh, we did a nod to him in Battlebug.
Yes, Knack-Knack.
Knack-Knack.
There's a giant koala that went Knack-Knack. That was a direct homage to Ambush Bug.
In fact, when
What was his name? Did he have a name, or was he just a monster?
Oh, I don't know.
I think he just was nameless. I haven't given a lot of names to the giant animals.
He didn't last very long. I mean,
No. The giant animals don't usually last that long in Battlebug.
So I'm looking and... Huh. I'm trying to see... I was trying to see on Amazon if they've ever collected like a complete Ambush Bug type... And I can't really tell. Because they were doing I just picked up, I'm waiting for the middle book, but I decided I wanted to reread the New Defenders run.
Yeah.
And So I bought a... They have a... What are they called? The series is called something or another. Essentials, I guess? No, Epic Collections. Or at least Marvel does. Marvel has Defender or Epic Collections of title runs and stuff. And so I was able to pick up like the whole basically new Defenders, even though it was still called Defenders, started right around 121, 122 of the series. And I had forgotten too that was DeMatteis. At first,
Who?
He was on that. He was the writer on that.
On Ambush Bomb?
No, Defenders. Sorry.
Oh right, yeah.
I'm getting kind of crossed around here. Anyway, so I was hoping.
I'm sorry. I should have been listening.
I was hoping to see if they had something like that for a complete collection or something of Ambush books. Because I mean, there wasn't that much Ambush book stuff, right?
There's more than you think. I mean, the first series was 4 issues. The second series was 6 issues, and then they had a couple of other things throughout the years after that. Because the second series came out like the late 80s, so there's been Ambush book stuff since then.
Yeah, I know they would put out like a special every now and then or something.
Yeah, they had a Ambush book year zero or something. Like, they had a, what was it? It was something like, there was a,
Year None.
Yeah, they did a Year None.
Yeah.
Which was also 6 issues. But the last issue was the 7th issue. And they pretended like issue 6 didn't exist.
Yeah, and I see like a couple of different specials. Like here's a Christmas special called Stocking Stuffer.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
It shows up every once in a while.
Yeah, but I don't see anything that looks like it's a complete collection or anything, which...
Well, a lot of it has to do with... I mean, he's kind of a dated character, and by that I mean, like, most of his stuff is in response to other things happening in the DC Universe.
Yeah.
So maybe it doesn't work on its own very well.
Possibly.
I don't know, that first series did. Because it was mostly just gag strips about other DC comics.
But I would think that if there's enough interest in Ambush Bug as a character that they bring him back to this thing that you're working on, that there would be enough interest just to go ahead and reprint material that they already own and all they got to do is assemble it,
Wasn't there like an evil sock that he fought?
I don't remember.
His name was either Argyle or he was from the planet Argyle. And he was an evil sock. Then he fought Darkseid. I remember that.
This was all Keith Giffen, right?
Yeah, Keith Giffen.
Was it just him?
Darkseid singing "That's the Way." I like it. I remember that. That made me laugh out loud when I was a kid.
You LOL'd?
Yeah, he blows up a planet and then he sings that song.
It's very Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's like amazingly dumb, but also very good.
Yeah.
I forgot about. Sorry, still looking at, trying to find Ambush Bug issues. I'm having problems talking today. There was an issue of Secret Origins dedicated to Ambush Bug too.
Yeah, it could be a lot of different songs.
Right. Anyway, I was reminded, I was watching a Weird Al thing from the 80s. It was like a fake documentary about him.
A fake documentary?
Well, it was like Weird Al-ized version of like his actual story, I guess.
A Weird Italicized?
Yeah, Weird Italicized. But I was reminded that a little, for me at least, a little bit of Weird Al goes a really long way.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, I couldn't get enough of him, but now, yes.
Even as a kid, I never owned any of his stuff. I just saw it on videos, you know?
I own, like, two albums of his.
Really?
Yeah.
And I can't even think of a time when I've sat through an entire album of Weird Al stuff.
I had M3D, and I listened to that over and over and over again.
Huh.
And then I had another one, but I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, it's just... It's like, it's not like I hate Weird Al, it's just like... It kind of grates on me after a while, or something.
Yeah. It does sound like you hate Weird Al, though.
Oh, no, no, not at all.
I think you hate Weird Al.
No, it's his mustache I hate. I can't stand it.
I don't like his hair.
Oh, no, I'm fine with his hair.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was fine with his hair in the 80s. His more modern hair is weird looking. And speaking
him,
of...
Him and Howard Stern, I feel like they should update their haircut.
Yeah, when it well,
time to trim it down a little bit.
Again, I'm thinking more like later Weird Al when it got like long and flat on top. Like
yeah,
in the 80s it was just sort of a poof ball. He had sort of a like an afro looking head or something.
Yeah.
Not like he said poof ball.
The poop ball?
Yeah, he had a poop ball. That's what happens when you eat it. Eat it. Anyway.
They're mad at you right now.
Why?
Because.
Oh, okay.
You're talking.
All right. Speaking of hair, I also watched another movie I had never seen before.
Hair?
No. Chairman of the Board.
Why?
My God, Carrot Top is annoying.
Why did you watch that?
Because I'd never seen it. And I was like, well, it had what's her name? Courtney Thorne Smith in it.
Yeah, it does. You're right. You are stating facts.
Correct.
Courtney Thorne Smith completist.
Well, he loves summer school so much.
I did love summer school so much.
Well, of course you did. It's good.
Chairman of the Board, however, is not.
I know. I've seen it.
Why? Why are you yelling at me for seeing it when you've seen it?
Because it's practically my job at this point.
I saw it, like, when it came out, so I feel like that's reasonable. But now in 2020, you don't need to watch it.
Yeah, you never needed to watch it, but...
Oh, it's 2021, by the way.
I feel like that's, like... I saw, like, Hot to Trot... Actually, Hot to Trot's way better than that.
I don't remember that title at all.
Hot to Trot is Bobcat Goldthwait and a horse voiced by John Candy. I saw that in the theater.
Wow. Okay. Was it better
don't
or...
Tell me you don't remember that movie.
I don't.
Annie Elfman did the soundtrack.
What's the one where Carrot Top joins the army?
That's, you're talking about Pauly Shore.
Oh, shit. I saw all the Pauly Shore movies in the theater, I think.
Who do you like better, Carrot Top or Pauly Shore? Buddy.
The thing that I hate about the Carrot Top movies, and Chairman of the Board especially, well, there might only be one Carrot Top movie. I think Chairman of the Board is the only one.
Thanks.
Is that he constantly screws up, yet everybody thinks he's amazing in that movie.
It's almost like he wrote it.
Yeah, everything he fucks up, everybody's like, oh, you're so smart.
That's what you hate about that movie?
Yeah, because it's like, I would have killed this man by now.
Mm. There's probably plenty more things to hate about that movie.
I mean, it sends the wrong message to people.
That is a valid criticism, but there are plenty.
Don't celebrate other people's weaknesses.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. But, I kept getting for some reason in my head I was mixing him up with Yahoo Serious.
I could see that, sure.
Because I was thinking thinking he had more than one movie, but then I realized that like Young Einstein or whatever the Einstein movie.
Yeah. Here's the thing, Yahoo Serious. He got a bad rap back then about making terrible movies, and they're not great, but they're more weird than they are like a Carrot Top movie. Well, Carrot Top movies are terrible. Yahoo Serious movie is like almost surrealistic, you know?
They were many levels better than Chairman of the Borg.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not really even a good movie. Even if somebody more competent than Carrot Top was in it,
yeah,
it still wouldn't be that good a movie. But yeah, so that was a sort of interesting. I've been digging through a lot of they dumped a bunch of stuff on Amazon, so I've been digging through a lot of stuff I haven't seen before, which is why I'm watching probably a bunch of crap too. Like I watched a made-for-TV movie with Shelley Long in it called Welcome to Paradise, where her and two of her sort of past their prime friends decide to go back to the town in Florida where they spent spring break 20 years ago and see if they can, like, recapture their youth or something.
Huh, I don't remember that.
I thought it was going to be, like, more of a comedy. It's got Ian Ziering in it, too. Ian Ziering. He and Shelley Long make out.
What?
Yeah.
Is this older Ian Ziering?
No, this is young Ian Ziering.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. I thought it would be more of a comedy or something, but it turns out to just be like a really kind of dull movie.
Mm.
It was kind of fun to watch it because it was from 1995. And so it was kind of fun to watch, like, it's sort of a snapshot of 1995 people because it was supposed to be like real world spring break stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of fun to watch from that aspect, just to see, like, the fashions and hairstyles and stuff. But, pretty dull movie, though. And I really don't know why I expected more out of a Shelley Long movie.
I expected more from you, Shelley Long.
There was one she was in with the Goot that was pretty good, I remember.
Oh, the Boyfriend School?
Yeah, that one.
When I saw it when I was a kid on VHS, it was called Don't Tell Her It's Me.
Boyfriend School is a better title.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I think that's from the, like Shelley Long is like a author in that, and I think that's the name of her book, isn't it?
That I don't remember. I just remember thinking that was okay. I mean, for being what it was, it wasn't like a spectacular movie or anything, but it was pretty good. It was like a cute rom-com type thing.
It's a really bizarre idea.
To fall in love with, or like make somebody fall in love with him by pretending you're somebody else?
Tricking someone, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of rom-coms are built off such similar wacky things. Much like 1990s Nobody's Perfect with Chad Lowe.
I don't remember that one, but I do.
Oh, it's bad.
I do think I've seen it.
Chad Lowe pretends to be a girl to...
Oh, yeah.
To get close to the girl he wants to get with. Yeah. Who isn't, like, a lesbian or anything, so I don't know why, how he thinks this is going to work.
There's several movies like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's even the flip-flop of that, like She's the Man. Remember that one?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's...
She's the Man. How are you not talking about one of the guys?
Oh, Just One of the Guys, too, yeah.
That's like the pinnacle.
Even more frequently, or more recently, what was that one with, Lex Luthor, where he dresses up as a woman in college?
That's called, I forget.
I don't think it was very good. I don't remember seeing it.
Oh, no, it's not very good. It's him and some other guys dress up like.
Yeah. Or if you want to go back really far, there's that movie with Marilyn Monroe and
Jack Lemmon?
Yeah, Jack Lemmon was in it. Where Jack Lemmon and his buddy dress up as women. To escape the mob or whatever.
Something like Hot.
Yes. Exactly. So, anyway. Just, I guess. But the Chad Lowe one was like... Everybody in that movie was so stiff. Like, you know?
I think the more important series are Soul Man.
Soul Man.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid thinking about that one.
changed my fine life. That's been left open for 20 years.
You know what? I can still remember how scared I was of James Earl Jones when C. Thomas Howell goes into his class after he's gone back to white again. And the look on his face, I was like, James Earl Jones is scary.
James Earl Jones was scary. Wait, he's dead, right?
No, he's not dead.
Oh. I thought he died recently.
No.
Oh. Okay. So another weirdo older movie that I never saw was Big Man on Campus.
Ah, I love that movie. It's so fucking weird. I'm constantly quoting that movie. I'm always going, Baba Luga 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 Luga
Luga
Luga Luga Luga.
Yeah, that is a strange.
It has the other guy from the pizza place. the other guy from Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
Was that Corey Parker?
Alan
Katz?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember what his name was.
Oh, no, Alan Katz was Baba Luga 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 Luga.
Yeah,
Luga.
I'm talking about the kid.
That's probably Corey Parker then. Yeah.
The one that wasn't Ryan Reynolds in the show.
I don't remember the pizza place show thing.
Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place?
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
Really?
Nope. Who like, okay, Ryan Reynolds
like
was
Nathan Fillion's, like, first show?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who was the girl?
He was the girl's girlfriend.
Well, who was the girl?
I mean, girl's boyfriend, that's what I meant. I don't know what her name was, but she was in a bunch of other stuff.
Two guys, a girl, and a beluga, 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 pizza
place. And Shonuff owned the pizza place.
Get out.
Yeah. Lord Bowler owned the pizza place.
Huh. Okay, so this aired from 98 to 2001.
Yeah. In Deadpool, has he ever had a scene where he's, like, back in that show?
That would be awesome. I don't think anybody remembers that show.
Which show?
See?
I mean, are we still talking about the Pizza Place show?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, considering that it's that recent that I don't remember, that's weird. Well, I guess it's not that recent. That's still 20 years ago, right? Yeah, I don't even remember ever hearing about Big Man on Campus. I never saw it on cable.
My name is Bob Baluga Luga Luga. He's so weird.
Yeah.
They could have made him a scary hunchback, but instead they just made him, like, super weird.
Well, I mean, and I don't get the whole premise of the movie is just strange anyway. There's this hunchback living in the tower on a college campus.
Notre Dame, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
he's the hunchback of Notre Dame.
Right. So, I mean, the whole concept's weird to begin with, but then once they find out he's there, they just let him stay there?
Yeah. Like, make that kid his roommate.
Yeah, exactly. How is any of this sane? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Trailer Howard was the girl.
Okay.
Oh, I remember her from Monk. Okay, she was one of Monk's assistants.
Yeah, she was Monk's caretaker. First one or the second one?
I don't know. I want to say the first one, but I'm not sure about that. Nope, she probably would have been the second one then. Because she was on from 05 to 09, so yeah, she would have been the second one. But, yeah, I don't remember the show at all. Was it good? Was it bad? It lasted a couple seasons.
Yeah, I thought it was funny, but I was probably in high school or in, like, just starting college.
Well, it lasted four seasons, so it must have had something going for it.
I thought it was funny, yeah.
I mean, it lasted long enough for him to leave the pizza place.
Yeah, they changed it to Two Guys and a Girl, that's right. And Nathan Fillion was her boyfriend, and he was very stingy with money. That was like his his character thing. He's very cheap.
Huh. Well, you can still get the complete series on DVD.
That sounds like a more of a you thing than me.
I don't know if it looks that interesting. Maybe if I was having an off day. But anyway. So, yeah. I tried to watch The Stoned Age, because I'd never seen that one either.
I have not watched that either.
I couldn't. It was...
It doesn't seem interesting to me.
It was really boring, was the big thing about it.
Mm.
And I remember a lot of people liking it, and it did really well in rentals. I remember that, too.
Mm-hmm.
When it came out for home video and that. It was a, but, like, and I don't know why I never saw it on the first go-around. Because I didn't see, like, Dazed and Confused back then, either. I didn't feel like watching stoner movies.
Sure.
But, I mean, picture this. I mean, the Stone Age, and it's really hard to actually figure this out for a minute when you start watching it. But this was a 1994 movie that was supposed to be taking place in, like, 78 or 77.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. Like, why not just make it now, you know? Like,
because it was in 77.
Yeah, I guess. But it,
You have a problem with Stranger Things being in the 80s?
No, I guess not. I mean, I guess they were looking back in the 90s to the 70s. Like we were looking back in the 20s to the 80s. Sure. Why not?
I'm always looking back at the 80s.
But my point is, though, is that when you're first watching it, it doesn't seem like it's in the 70s. In fact, there are a lot of, like, cue mistakes. For the year it's supposed to be taking place, there's music being played that came out later and stuff.
Sure.
Like
that. Yeah, that happens a lot in these things.
So it was like, that's part of why it was really confusing for me to when I suddenly realized it was the 70s. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. If you didn't know that something was set in a certain decade, then they probably didn't do their job right.
Yeah. And, you know, all that would have been fine if it would have been, like, more of a comedy or more of something, but, it was just boring.
Yeah.
So I didn't keep watching it. But. And I was trying to find, like, I was watching a bunch of, like, Amazon added a whole bunch of, like, shorter length movies. Like, just over an hour length type stuff.
Yeah.
And... You know, some of those, I've been digging through some of those. Some of those are better than others, but, like, I feel like it's less of an investment when a movie's, like, right around an hour instead.
Yes.
I don't feel like I have to sit, especially because, like, when you watch a terrible movie and it's an hour and 45 minutes long or something, you know, like...
Yeah.
I feel like that's just such a big waste, like... But, anyhow. Also, I kind of, like, this isn't, you probably already know about this, maybe, or maybe not, since you don't buy records, but Target does a thing where they have, like, exclusive vinyl.
Really? Target does?
Yeah, and the cool thing is it's, like, right around the same price, and in a couple of cases, I found it even cheaper than buying just the regular edition from Amazon or something.
Well, that's cool, I guess.
Yeah, because I was looking up, I realized that we're hitting, like, anniversary dates for some, like, milestone music stuff.
Yeah, I'm kind of like Sean on that, though. Movies and albums with anniversaries, I don't get it.
Well, it's not like I'm throwing a birthday party for them. What I'm saying is, though, is that I'm taking the opportunity, because a lot of times, you know, especially now that vinyl's come back, and vinyl, part of the thing that's nice about vinyl is the packaging, right? Plus getting colored vinyl or something. The presentation, I guess I should say. But since we have anniversaries, you know, some of these albums are coming out as anniversary editions with, you know, I don't know, added stuff or different, like, it's been remastered or they're putting it out on a special colored vinyl or something, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was looking for something. Oh, Pearl Jam's 10 album came out in 91. So I was looking up to see if they were having a reissue for the anniversary.
That's a good record.
It is. But and I found it on then I wound up finding it on Target, and they've got it in a really nice looking purple vinyl, which is really cool. So I wound up getting that and Nirvana's Nevermind, which came out last year.
The original, there was a like a blue see-through, like looked like the pool vinyl that came out when the album came out, because my buddy Ron brought it to our dorm room when it came out. That's how I first heard it.
Wow, that's cool.
It was on that like see-through blue vinyl.
For Pearl Jam? Oh, no, for Nirvana.
Nirvana.
Yeah.
And I was like, this sounds like the Pixies. What a ripoff.
The edition I picked up from Target's on a kind of a metallic silver looking vinyl, which, you know, cool enough.
Mm-hmm.
Alice in Chains facelift had its anniversary last year, and they put out a new edition of that that's on a double vinyl. I think it's heavy, like 180 gram maybe.
Heavy.
But so yeah, that's the reason I'm bringing up anniversaries, because we're getting reissues of stuff now. I tried to look up, and I'm taking it as an opportunity to pick up some stuff on vinyl that I didn't already have on vinyl. So I figure if I'm going to get it for the first time, I might as well get, you know, something fun. But I tried looking up, They Might Be Giants Flood, because that came out in 90. And they did do a reissue, but it's pretty much the same packaging as the original, because the original came in a gatefold jacket.
Mm-hmm.
But it's on green vinyl now, instead of the original black. And that would be cool, but it was like, you know, they want to close to $30 for it or something like that, and I've already got I still have a copy of the original pressing that I've had since back then. And it still sounds good, so I'm like, well, I've already got it, it's not worth picking up, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyway, so that Target exclusive thing is pretty neat. I picked up from their clearance thing a couple of weeks ago, I picked up Billie Eilish on Glow in the Dark vinyl, which was...
Billie Eilish?
I think that's how you say her name, Eilish?
Yeah, I'm joking.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, that was on a Glow in the Dark vinyl, which was kind of cool. Anyway.
Billy Eilish.
Yeah. But what new music have you picked up?
I have picked up no new music.
Okay.
In fact, I just learned how to play the letter by the Box Tops. So I'm going in reverse.
How's that go?
The Box Tops. That's Alex Chilton's first band.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like an old doo-wop group or something.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, the letter is only famous because What's His Face did a remake that's more popular. Joe Cocker.
How's the song go? I'm trying to place it.
It's good. Give me a ticket for an airplane.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That song. I don't like that song.
Okay.
I didn't like either version of that song.
Well, I hate the Joe Cocker version, but...
Maybe that's the only one I've heard. I don't know if I've heard the Box Tops version. Well, good. I'm glad you're learning stuff. As long as it's...
Lonely days are coming. I'm coming home. My Norton, baby sent me a letter.
Norton, he wrote me a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Right on, man. Right on.
Right the fuck on.
Yeah. Right on. Okay. Did you watch that weirdo movie that I sent you a link to?
The weirdo movie that you sent me a link to.
I think I did.
You did send me a link to a movie, but I don't know if I watched it.
I'm not talking about The Wild Boar. There was a more recent one that I sent you a link to.
Did you email it to me? Or?
It's, let's see. Yeah, it was called Creature Cabin.
No, I haven't watched it. I was too busy watching Snake Out of Compton.
Snake Out of Compton. You subject yourself to an awful lot of stuff.
I do. I'm strong.
Is that what this is? Is this like an endurance building kind of thing?
Yep, sure. Sure.
All right. So are you done with your shark movies, I guess?
I don't know if you can ever be done with shark movies, because they made so many of them.
Fair enough. Did you watch, where's it at? I've got it in my whatchamacallit watch list.
Whatchamacallit?
Well, we were talking, last time we were talking, I think we were talking about Italian movies that were like ripoffs of stuff.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So, trying to find what this is called. Because it was, what's his name? He was like known for his horror movies and stuff.
Baba? Fulci?
One of them, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to find it. It was... Oh, Bruno Mattei. Mattei. However you say that.
I don't know who that is.
Anyway, he put out a movie called Cruel Jaws.
Yeah, we were just talking about Cruel Jaws.
Okay, yeah, because that one's like cut together from other people's movies and stuff.
Yeah, Cruel Jaws.
Yeah. And Bruno Mattei, yeah, he made a lot of horror stuff. Actually,
Italians ripped a lot of Jaws. I mean, there's like, what's the other one? The Last Shark.
Oh, I've seen that one too, yeah. Didn't Riff Trax riff that one, didn't they?
Yep, Riff Trax did that.
Was this Bruno Mattei too? Oh yeah, it was. Okay, so Bruno Mattei also directed like Strike Commander with Rip Brown.
Strike Commander?
Oh, Commando, sorry. Strike Commando.
Strike Commando. Oh, I've seen Strike Commando.
Yeah.
That's a great movie! That's the one where he shoves the grenade in the dude's mouth?
I think so, yeah.
And then he has, like, metal teeth, and the only thing left are metal teeth.
And he also directed the amazing Shocking Dark. You remember?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. So I guess he had sort of a pattern of ripping stuff off.
Wait a minute, which one's Shocking Dark? Is that the one with the musician?
That's the one that was sort of like a... Well, they in the description it says it rips off Aliens and Terminator, but... It's got a team of badass Marines.
Oh, yes.
That's the one in the beginning where it's like there's all that sort of weird racial joking or something?
Yes.
And they're being chased by a cyborg?
Yes.
Yeah. So, good old Bruno Mattei. Mattei. At least I guess that's how you say his name. I don't know. What else have you been watching?
I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean...
Yeah? Uh-oh. I just got an email. Looks like there's more questions about that asset thing I was talking about.
You are an asset.
I like to think of myself as an asset, yeah.
Why are you guys whispering over there?
We're plotting. Against you, Mike.
I mean, obviously they're whispering because they don't want you to hear what they're saying, Mike.
You little bitch.
Or me. They don't want me to hear it either, so.
We're not rude.
Oh, damn. You don't have to be mean.
Duh. Don't want to be yelling over your podcast.
Nobody cares about my podcast.
This is true.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, so I'm on book 13 of the Bourne series now?
Whoa.
They've kind of turned him into a psychopath at this point. And again, with even from book to book now, they're not even paying attention to continuity anymore. Like, they clearly lay out a timeline in one book, and then they just insert some extra events that are supposed to take place in that timeline from the last book, but we never read it, and it never happened. But they insist it did. It's pretty crazy, man. this is not the character, like, the same character that we started out with. And I don't know if that's, like, considered good character growth or what, but...
Yeah.
Because
they don't know you anymore, Jason. But he's not writing them, right?
Say what?
He said he stopped writing them, right?
Yeah, Ludlum only wrote the first three, then Von Lustbader.
Who? That's not even a real name. That wasn't that guy's real name.
That's what I said. And I'm a guy that sounds like he has a fake name, and I say his name is fake. His name's Eric Van Lustbader.
That's not a real name.
Well, apparently it is.
He would get kicked off the Warren Ellen's forums.
I stopped after three, because even three was kind of whack.
I felt like three, they were trying to end the book, or end the series. Like,
wait, no, I like three. I didn't like two.
Yeah, three was more like one.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. After three, this Eric Van Lustbader.
Yeah.
He took over, and actually he's off the series now. And they got somebody else writing them now.
Three really dug into Treadwell, right?
Yeah, and they bring Carlos back into it in that too.
Okay, yeah.
The robot Treadwell from Star Wars?
There was a robot named Treadwell?
Yeah.
That wasn't that little boxy thing with feet, was it?
No, that's a Gonk droid.
Oh, okay.
The Treadwell is the little, you see him when Luke buys R5-D4 from the Jawas. He's basically a little white tread. He looks like a little tank tread with a big, long, like, lamppost head.
And his name was Treadwell?
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. Lucas was awfully literal.
I think Treadwell's in The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And they call him that by name?
They never call him that by name.
Okay.
In Mandalorian, they do. Oh, yeah, because Amy Sedaris owns them now.
Cooking food.
Yeah, Treadwell is Amy Sedaris's droid.
Is he, I wonder if he feels like somebody's watching him.
What? That's Rockwell, not Treadwell.
Eh, close enough.
No, it's not. I had to even figure out what you were talking about.
Treadwell. It sounds like a shoe line for, like, professional nurses or something.
It, you know what? It does. This is, yeah. I don't know what just happened.
You had a Weird Al moment? Maybe. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, so the Bourne books. Oh, man. They are kind of crazy at this point. Like I said,
it's kind of crazy.
And I should have stopped reading them a long time ago, but I'm sort of just amazed at how far they're pushing him. Like, one of the big changes was, especially in the first three books, he only killed people when he had to.
Like, now he does it for fun?
Now he's just, like, putting bombs in people's pants and crap, you know, like...
But bombs in people's pants?
Yeah, you know, he's just driving by and, like, shooting people in the head for no reason. Crap like that.
No,
like,
he's not.
I mean,
there is not a scene where he drives by and shoots somebody in the head for no reason. You made that up.
All right, I made that part up. But my point is...
Yes, I would agree with you. Maybe those books have gone off the rails.
My point is he's killing people willy-nilly now. He burns his dude alive with a flamethrower. Like he couldn't have just shot him. He had to burn him with a flamethrower.
Maybe he had a message.
I'm a psychopath? Yeah.
Well, you know.
I'm a crazy man.
You know, a dude's got to do what a dude's got to do.
Apparently, yeah.
Sometimes a dude's got to burn a bitch.
Yeah. With a flamethrower. So, yeah, it's just it's amazing how much more violence and kind of cruelty they've put into these books now as they've gone on.
Watching cruelty.
It's, yeah, man. And it's kind of like, it's like watching a car accident or something, you know? Or a slow motion train wreck.
Or like reading a book.
And, okay, so the Eric Van Lustbader.
Stop saying that! That's not his name!
Eric Van Lustbader.
my God.
He was in the middle of writing a book and then quit. I don't know if he got fired or he quit, but he stopped when he was in the middle of a book. That indicates to me that something somewhere was going wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can only imagine, like, this is one of those things where I, you know.
You get to replace him.
I can tell you. It was, let's see, Bourne Books. Because he's got one out last year and one that's coming out this year. A guy named Brian Freeman now. So I gotta wonder, though, if, like, these choices, like, for the changes in Bourne's character and stuff like that, I gotta wonder if they were initiated by Lustbader.
Stop saying his name!
Lustbader. It sounds like it should be from a porno version of Star Wars or something.
I know!
I am Lustbader. Luke. Anyway, I gotta wonder if these changes to the character and the insertion of more violence and like sex and stuff like that were his choice or the Ludlum Estate's choice?
It sounds like they turned him into Parker.
I don't know if I'm trying to remember. I think I've read one Parker book. What the modern or what the more recent Bourne stuff reminds me of is a sort of a slightly more upscale what was his name? The Executioner, Mac Bolan.
Mac Bolan.
I think that was his name, right? Mac Bolan?
Mac Bolan.
Where, I mean, those were pretty, you know, violent and stuff like that. I mean, the series was called The Executioner.
Zack me off.
What?
That's the writer's name.
Who?
Diedrich Zack me off.
Don't make me sick Lustbader on you.
Lustbader!
I forgot what I was going to say. Another similarity, I think what they're going for now is they don't actually expect anybody to read every single one of these. Or at least not in a short span of time.
No.
There
are only dads were reading them to begin with.
The Bourne books?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, my dad was reading the Executioner books when he was like a night guard.
He's like, Bourne's a pussy.
Fuck Jason Bourne. Give me Mac Bolan.
Get me Mac Bolan!
I want some Executioner style. Yeah.
Get me Mac Bolan!
For that matter, I guess
Bolan.
The current Bourne's more like the Punisher now.
Bolan, 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 Bolan.
Bolan, Bolan, Bolan. But yeah, anyway, so I just wanted to give you an update on my, you know, lust baiterness.
Okay.
I want to finish these so I can get on to something else.
I want you to finish them too.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to, like, reading some good books. Like, I don't know, the novelization of the Beavis and Butthead movie or something.
Charlotte's Web.
That'll do, pig.
What'd you call me?
When? Exactly. Dun, dun, dun. So,
you guys still playing the skiing game?
No. Mm-hmm.
Did you escape Deadly Peaks or whatever?
Deadly Escape Twin Peaks.
Escape from Deadly Peak. Thank you.
Escape from Dual Spires.
Oh, Peak of the Damned. Sorry.
Peak of the Damned. Peekaboo of the Damned.
What is this, like, what platform is this Steep game on?
They're playing on a PS4.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm seeing if there's, like, a PC version of it. Like, if it's on a... I'm blanking out. What's that? Steam? Steam. That's all.
Steam.
Steam? Steam. Steep on Steam? I can't even find out much information about this. This is weird. I want to see a Haunted Mountain.
Haunted Mountain!
That's the new Disney ride.
That's because you can't see the Haunted Mountain.
That's true.
I only heard the beginning of that.
He said just because you can't see the Haunted Mountain doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. We carry the Haunted Mountain with us, Mike.
Hmm.
The Haunted Mountain was the friends we made along.
You
the
son
way.
Of a bitch.
The Haunted Mountain was carrying us all along.
Wait, there was one mountain, right?
Exactly. I mean, mountains do have feet. Well, they have a foot, anyway. So, there would be only one mountain print. Yeah, that was bad, wasn't it? Yeah, sorry about that. Anywho. Mike, do we have any email?
Fine. Let me look.
Please do. Look for me. Comics, man. Okay.
David Balsley writes.
That's not a real name.
Yeah, it's a friend of mine.
Balsley?
Oh, no. Julie said this was going to happen.
Uh-oh.
David and his wife, Kate, have a daughter. I forget how old she is. Like 10?
Was this the artist? The girl that was drawing you pictures?
I don't remember. Maybe.
Go ahead.
Apparently she's writing letters to us now. I hope she's not listening to this show, David.
Oh.
Hi, Crank and Mike. Hi, I'm Rosemary. You probably remember me from the hot dogs for lunch question. I honestly thought your dad wrote that. I wanted to tell you that my dad has sloppy handwriting, and I finished my journal. Do you know any advice to help my dad's handwriting? Thank you for your help, Rosemary.
Well, you could always switch to block caps instead.
I started writing in caps and I think it was probably because of comics, because everything was written like that.
Right, yeah.
So when I was young, I wrote everything in caps, and you know they make you do, like, cursive in those tablets?
Sure.
And I told you what I did with those. I just drew, like, Star Wars movies in those. I've scanned that whole tablet, by the way. I just haven't put it all up online.
My normal handwriting now still is... caps, like
I will do that too. I write in caps because I practiced like writing like comic book lettering when I was a kid.
I do make an exception where I do a taller where there's actually supposed to be a capital.
Like, also, do people even really write cursive anymore?
I don't know. I try it every now and then just to see if I can still do it. But my cursive is as sloppy as a doctor's, pretty much.
Yeah, it's really hard to read other people's cursive for me.
Yeah.
So I write in block letters, and it's easier to be less sloppy when you're writing in block letters.
I found I've forgotten a lot of the forms of cursive. So when I've tried to write something in cursive, it winds up coming out as a sort of a mix of stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah. Obviously, we're not the people to ask about improving your handwriting.
I don't know. I mean, I, a lot of people mention that I have good handwriting.
I mean, yeah, if you're talking about making it more legible, probably switching to like comic style lettering would be.
Yeah, you got to write block letters and not write real fast.
Yeah,
I'm also not very fast when I write.
That's not as pretty as writing in a flowery hand or something, but.
Everybody can read it.
Yeah. If legibility is the goal, that's probably the good way to do it.
It's hard to take this question seriously. Okay. I'm trying to think of a real answer to a question that a little girl has asked me through her father.
Do people still... Oh, sorry, I'm still thinking about writing. Like, I mean, writing in long form, is that still a thing?
Yeah, people do it. I feel more comfortable doing it, like when I'm writing ideas down. For some reason, when I'm typing stuff, it doesn't... If I'm putting out, writing down an original idea, for some reason, just the act of putting my hands on the keyboard kind of just, like, blocks me up. Now, if I'm typing, like, a script, like dialogue, that's kind of almost, that's like a mechanical thing, and I can do that. But if I'm, like, writing ideas down, like, all my story stuff is, like, handwritten stuff in, like, little boxes.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering, I mean, because I tend to still write a lot, but that's sort of what I do, you know? I mean, because I draw the SFX and stuff like that, like, and so it's easier for me to just pick up a pencil and jot a note down if I need to make a note for something.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that, too.
But I didn't know if, it, like, writing was still a thing people did since we've got texting and emails and everything
else.
Yeah,
people still write, of course.
Okay. So, go ahead. I'm sorry, what's the next question?
But, no, that's the only... The advice to help my dad handwriting, I would say just start writing block lettering. Don't do cursive.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. I don't know what their teacher taught her.
Now, if he can't handle block...
I still don't think they do... They don't do the handwriting tablets anymore, do they?
I don't know. Do they even teach kids cursive still? Like, I don't know.
Mm.
I remember it used to be frowned on...
I just said, tell us, Rosemary.
I remember it used to be frowned on to write in caps all the time.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too, because I would get in trouble for it.
Right. Like, if I was going to write in print, or if I was going to print something out like that, they wanted mixed case, I remember.
Well,
as opposed to now when, like, if you text or message all in caps, that's frowned on.
But yelling?
That's for a different reason.
Yeah. Well, I'll mix case when I write.
I guess I do here and there, but my stuff's mostly cap stuff, you know, or drop caps, I guess you call them. Because there is still, like, if I'm starting off a sentence, there is still a size difference in my first letter as opposed to the rest of the sentence or whatever. Mm. So.
Thank you, Rosemary.
Yeah.
And David.
Right on.
And I'm going to take your dog.
I'm sorry for saying that your name wasn't real.
It's totally real.
Well, all right, then.
It's a nice little girl and a nice dog that I'm going to steal.
As long as you don't steal the girl.
No, I won't.
Because that's...
I'm stealing the dog.
Yeah, I mean, the dog's just like local small crime. If you steal the girl, it's like federal.
I mean, they live down the street. They know where we are. They'd come get her.
Wow. Well... That's still probably breaking a federal law or two, I think. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure, but it's not like they're in a lot... I mean, it's not a lot of trouble they have to go through.
Right, right. Anyway.
I'll just steal the dog. Stealing the dog. That's what I'm doing.
It's probably also something you shouldn't announce. Like, in public? On recordings?
Yeah, I have a problem with that, don't I?
I think you're not thinking it through. You know.
I usually am not. Yes, you're right. Correct.
Yeah.
That's all for the email.
Okay, well, thank you. I guess that's it for us this week. I should have been checking the whatchamacallit already.
Whatchamacallit?
Oh, you know, the thing. The thing with the stuff that's, you know... Out.
Silence.
I can't remember the name of it. The comic list. The stuff that's in stores this week. Which is yesterday, actually.
I don't know what's in stores. I do know that you can buy online. I think it's through the DC app.
What's that?
The Let Them Live number 1.
What is that?
That's my Ambush Bug book.
Well, there you go.
And it has a unpublished... Suicide Squad story by Jim Zub and Trad Moore.
No kidding.
Yeah, man. There's some crazy stories that didn't get published in this series.
I saw
and we thought that would never come out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of guys that don't think that. The editor told me that they keep getting stories from people.
Like unsolicited?
No, I mean, they just keep finding them.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Why would they commission people and pay people to do something and then never put it out?
There's lots of different reasons. It used to be that they would collect, like, inventory stories for when somebody flaked out or some unforeseen thing happened.
Just to have it in the bag?
Yeah, but in these days of, like, impossible deadlines and scheduling, you can have some event or some storyline go on and then some other writer decides he wants to do this. And so they scrap an entire, year's worth of ideas, and they don't tell the artist until he's already got, like, an issue done or something like that.
Well, that just sounds weird.
Yeah, it happens.
I'm just trying to picture, because, obviously they've got enough unfound stuff to put this all out now, right?
Our series is like 6 issues so far, but we might do more.
And is it like a couple of stories an issue?
No, it's just one issue, and it has bookends of Ambush Bug that I do.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe this was like, little shorts, like 4 or 5 page stories.
No, they're like whole issues, which is, that's why it's kind of, who wouldn't want to see a Tradmore Suicide Squad? And it's really cool looking.
Yeah.
I tell you what some of the other ones are, but I can't.
They'd have to kill you.
Yeah. But they're really cool artists.
That you can find that. Is that in stores or just online?
It's online. They might collect it or put it out after. It's what they call it, digital first or something like that.
Oh, okay. So, Comixology?
I don't know if it's on Comixology. Let me look.
Or does DC have their own app?
I think they do.
Also this week, there are a bunch of Image Firsts out, and that's just a thing where Image reprints first issues of a series. But, which are, that's a cool thing to reintroduce ongoing series with, the number ones, get people on board with it or whatever. That's also cool that they're only $1.
DC Universe Infinite is what it's called. It's an app.
DC Universe. Are they, is DC, like, is that the only place they publish their digital first stuff?
I don't think so, but they're probably going to be doing, they're probably going to start.
I didn't know if they were like Disney Plus, where it's, they pulled
over. The first thing that they've done? Because it's the only thing I see when I, let me see, all count. No, they've got tons of stuff on there. Okay. It looks like it's their Marvel Unlimited.
Okay. Does Marvel only publish through Marvel, or does Marvel publish through Comixology too?
They publish with Comixology, but they also have their own app. It's called Marvel Unlimited, and that's where you can read through a subscription, you can read everything.
Like their entire back catalog and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Basically everything up to 4 months ago.
And that's what this DC Infinite looks like. Because I'm seeing, you can read All-Star Comics. Comic Cavalcade.
That'd be really cool just for catching up on certain runs and stuff.
Wonder Woman from 1942 to 1986.
Yeah, that'd
be crazy, man.
Is the old Ambush Bug stuff on there?
Let's look.
Is that owned by DC or is that owned by Giffen? Since Giffen.
No, Ambush Bug is like a DC trademark.
Okay. But Howard the Duck was owned by. Wait a minute. Did Marvel own Howard the Duck or did.
Marvel owns it, but there's disputing over it. I think Gerber was happy about it.
I thought I remembered something about, back in the odds, that Gerber had got the rights back to it or something.
Ambush Bug is in here.
Oh, cool. So
Ambush Bug, Son of Ambush Bug, Ambush Bug Year None, Ambush Bug Nothing Special.
Is a stocking stuffer in there?
I do not see the stocking stuffer.
So not only can you check out the freshest, newest incarnation of Ambush Bug.
DC Comics Presents, which is the first appearance of Ambush. Yeah, there's the stocking stuffer.
Oh, there you go. So you can also deep dive and, you know, really get into this whole Ambush Bug thing. Just, you know, get your fingers really dirty. Dig them in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, anyway, going back to the Image Firsts thing. One of them is Undiscovered Country. So that's in stores this week. And, yeah, check it out. It's only a dollar.
Check it out!
One measly little buck, you know?
Do the Image Firsts come out on Comixology as well?
I think so.
Wouldn't they just discount the issue that's there? I mean,
yeah, but that's kind of what I meant. I was just wondering if they do the discount on Comixology.
I've never had a Comixology account. I'm not sure how they work or anything. I mean, I guess it would make sense to rebrand it as an Image First if you want to present it as a first, but...
Yeah.
I guess, because that way you're telling people that this is what this is, or whatever. Also this week from Uni, Rick and Morty Worlds Apart number 1, which is an interesting thing because it's got two different artists working on it, like switching off, I don't want to say this, well, Worlds Apart, obviously, you're implying that there's two different things going on there. So one artist is working on part of the story which has the what are they called? Lust dragons? No. The lust baiters? No. The, I don't know, the something dragons, the sexy dragons.
Mm.
I can't remember what they're from. They were in an episode or two or whatever, Rick and Morty. And then, also, on the other hand, another artist working on more of a, like, kind of a sci-fi-y thing where it takes place on another planet kind of thing. And so, like, you know, each chapter has got its own look to it and stuff. Or each scene, whatever. So that's pretty cool. I'm trying to remember who the artists are. I'm blanking out. I think Tony Fleece is one of them. Yeah, it's Josh I don't know how to say his last name. T-R-U-J-I-L-L-O? Trujillo? Trujillo?
Trujillo? Trujillo. Trujillo, I think is how you say that.
Trujillo. Okay, J's go to H's. So yeah, Josh Trujillo and Tony Fleece are the artists. Line artists.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That's pretty fun. Oh, Slut Dragons. That's what they're called.
You're a slut dragon. God, I hope Rosemary's not listening to this.
Yeah.
Do not let your kids listen to this.
Well, sure, her father's got to have enough sense to, you know, not actually. Yeah. I mean, not actually let her listen to this. We are sort of. I mean, it is marked as an explicit podcast.
Oh. Mm.
At least on iPod, not iPod, iTunes. Or whatever the iTunes thing is now.
Saying something was explicit always stop you, kids.
Well, then that's out of our hands, though, you know? So, can't do anything about that. Yeah, so anyway. And that's all I see. I don't know if anything else. But, I mean, there's still back stuff in stores, you know? There's always going to be new stuff coming out next week. Comic stuff. Yeah. Dig it. I got a stack of comic things I gotta read, too. I got the TPB, I got this in the mail last week, I think. TPB of the book called, Teenagers from Mars. From mid-2000s.
Wow. That's old.
Yeah, mid-2000s. Well, so is the New Defenders. I'm kind of reading old stuff. But, yeah, anyway. Yeah, I got stuff to read there. I guess that's it. So you can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Mike's website is ihatemike.com. There's art at cadencecomicart.com.
Chromacores.
Battlepug.com.
Battlepug.
Com.com. The calm before the storm.com. Anyway, have a good weekend. See you all next week. Stay safe.
Bye.
Bye, Craig.